superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoking crack!
Main camp underway today. The Oilers are on the ice. Hey, you bet we're going to be talking about that. What is going on? It's Cody Jansen, and we are hanging out here with you on 12 Ounce Sports, getting set for another season of NHL hockey. Everyone knows that this time of year, some overreactions are going to happen. That's just bound. I mean, that's the NHL world. But when you've got stories as big as we have breaking daily, every single day it seems like something new is going on. Well, we got to talk to you about that. Join the conversation anytime because it's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, the official auto parts retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. If you're on your way to the rink, Lord Co. Auto Parts, they can ensure you've got everything you need for a smooth ride, from bright white headlight replacement bulbs for increased visibility during early morning or late night commutes, to battery maintainers that are going to ensure your vehicle starts when the temperature drops. Visit a Lord Co. Auto Parts location today for knowledgeable service, quality parts and accessories, or visit LordCo.com to find a store near you. Now we're going to get to some quotes here. Sabres GM Kevin Adams, he spoke to the media today. A lot of words were flying around. So we will get to that in a little bit. But I did have some points to bring up here with Oilers camp. And we talked about COVID and COVID vaccine mandates. And we'll get into that later on the show. I promise you. We will talk about that at 12:40. Join the conversation anytime at World Hockey RPT on 12 Ounce Sports, wherever you want. We will dive into that. We got a lot of thoughts coming in on Twitter, hot and heavy already this morning. It's been buzzing. And we're going to dive into that later. We'll talk some Oilers camp here because, hey, Josh Archibald left off the list of skaters. This is per Reed Wilkins. You got to give credit where it's due. He said Josh Archibald, not listed as a participant in Oilers' second practice group, was not on the ice with the first group. Thoughts? Get him in. Anytime. At World Hockey RPT. Josh Archibald, the lone Edmonton Oiler who's unvaccinated right now, is not on the ice with the team. Do we think he's being held out? Did Ken Holland have a change of heart and say vaccines are mandatory? Did Connor McDavid and the captain speak to him and say, hey, if you want to play on our team this year, get the shot? Or is he going to keep being a Twitter warrior? Conspiracy theories will get to you if you go down that rabbit hole. Research isn't done on YouTube. It's not done on Facebook. It's not done on Twitter. Maybe trust the scientists and doctors that are put in charge of this, and so you can play the game that fills your pockets and the organization that signs off on those checks. That's my thoughts. We'll dive into a little bit more of that later on in the show. Of course, your comments, always welcome. If you're watching 12 Ounce Sports, download the podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Don't forget to do that because they're the best at throwing it out there. We had Christopher Stieg on yesterday. He was unreal. Pat McLenny joined to talk Kaprizov. We had Andrew Alberts on earlier this week. Told some great, great Vancouver and Boston stories there. Plus some college stuff. You know, he enjoyed his time. So that's a good interview as well with Andrew Alberts. Go download that wherever you get your podcast from. Oilers camp. And one of the things I did want to talk about, Adam tweeted it out today. It is nice to see that top line get a little bit of consistency. You see McDavid, he's going to play with Puljujärvi on his right side and Hyman on his left. So it's a right shot forward on the left-hand side. Hyman obviously going to need a big season if he wants to get any consideration at all for the Canadian Olympic team. Now, is it possible? Yes, of course it's possible. But the way people are talking, like he's a shoo-in for this? I don't know. I'm afraid to tell you, I don't think he's a shoo-in for the Canadian Olympic team. I don't think he's at that level yet. We'll see what happens. I do like the way that they threw him up there with Puljujärvi. They said, hey, here's your line. Go for it. If you want to load it up, if you want to put Draisaitl up there with McDavid and Hyman, you can. That's likely going to be your power play unit. Maybe you've got Nuge out there as well, and you've probably gotten Barry or Nurse on the back end. So you're set in that regard. But I do think that, you know, you've also got another Swiss Army knife in Warren Fogle. Not to say that Nuge, Yamamoto, and Draisaitl can't rekindle the magic they had a couple of years ago, but you've also got some depth guys in this lineup who they haven't had the opportunity to fall back on before. Do I think Cassian's a top six forward on this lineup? Probably not. I think that maybe Phil Barnes changes something. Maybe he finds his legs again. Maybe he finds the old Cassian that was so effective so many times for this Edmonton Oilers team. But if not, you better hope he's a damn good fourth liner for you. And you better hope that Warren Fogle pays off for Ethan Bear, because that's a guy who can come in and change the game. I know he's an analytics darling, whatever. I'm not going to dive into that. I don't care about that. I care about he's versatile. He can play multiple positions and he can play up and down your line. That's what you need. That's exactly what Tippett wants. He wants guys he can call upon. I think Warren Fogle fits that bill. Then it comes down to the defensive side. What are you looking forward to seeing in camp? One of the storylines that I'm looking forward to is the guy they paid a lot of money on free agency day, and that's Cody Ceci. Where does he fit? If he's a third pairing D-man on this team, are you in trouble or are you in a good spot? Is he going to pan out for the length of his contract? How does Bouchard look on this team? Darnell Nurse has a new deal extension. I guess it doesn't kick in this year, but it's this upcoming season. Tyson Barrie, now you've handed him his contract. I think the defense is obviously going to be one of the bigger topics. It's not as big as the goaltending. Everyone knows that the goaltending's coming down to, you know, Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen once again, who weren't bad. They weren't good. They certainly weren't good. Especially when they needed Koskinen to be good, come in for relief. I get it. He played a ton early. That's tough to do. Excuses can only get you so far. You're going to need another great season by Mike Smith, but your backup's going to be huge. I think they were hoping Alex Stalock might have been able to push and play a few games. I think that was the hope deep down. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Guess we'll see, though. Can Skinner or Konovalov push Koskinen? I don't think they're quite ready yet. I know everyone at Edmonton does have high expectations for him. Skinner was good in the American League playoffs last year. Konovalov has the KHL numbers. Those don't always equate into good NHL numbers, or even just jumping into a role. I mean, if you're Ilya Sorokin, if you're Shestorkin, those are different. Even Koskinen was great. Dylan hops in the chat, says, look at this beauty. Okay, that's a good compliment. Maybe he likes the hat. It's a TPS hat. I don't know if you guys can see this. Don't look at my hair today. TPS hat, they're awesome. The guys at the Coho Pro Shop, they hooked us up last year with so much swag for playoffs. Unreal. And it's one of the best hats ever. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to have to figure out how I can cap it and get some World Hockey Report stuff going. Because, yeah, unbelievably comfy. Also got the World Hockey Report hoodie on. We're in the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. Yes, I probably should have mentioned that. It's Cody Jansen with you live today from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31_ and the show at World Hockey RPT. We're also on Instagram, Twitter. I think our social media manager, Eric, says TikTok is on the way. We'll see. Once Clever's out too, I'm telling you guys. We talked with Steger yesterday. Clever's awesome. Well, you'll see some World Hockey Report clips on there as well. It'll be bumping once it gets going. But Oilers main camp, I'm interested. I'm interested to hear from you. What are you most looking forward to? Are you looking forward to see Connor McDavid have a 150-point season? Are you looking forward to see how Tyson Barrie can handle his new deal, a little bit of a bigger role? Yeah, we might get some Janner TikToks. I don't know. We will see. I probably won't be allowed to be in control of that account. I don't think they'll trust me with that. But I am down for it. Eric just chimed in and said, yeah, we need to get some sound bites going on TikTok. Hey, I'll let you two battle it out there because I think that would be hilarious. I know Lindsay rips through TikTok all the time, and if she starts seeing World Hockey Report on TikTok, maybe she'll delete the app. Maybe she'll say, that's enough. I've had enough of that. Interested to hear your thoughts, so anytime, join the conversation at World Hockey RPT. We're on Twitter at 12 Ounce Sports. Coming down on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, 120zsportsnetwork.com as well. Facebook, wherever you are watching from. I got to get to these quotes, though. They're coming from Sabres GM Kevin Adams this morning. Let's start off with the big announcement. I'll just play it for you.
I spoke to Jack 2 days ago. I spoke to the team yesterday and addressed this. Jack Eichel is no longer the captain of the Buffalo Sabres. From our perspective and my perspective, I feel the captain is the heartbeat of your team. And we're in a situation from where we were in the past and where we are now that felt that we needed to address that.
And not just addressing that he's no longer the captain, he failed his physical.
Just to back up, I think it's really important to talk about, since this process has begun with Jack, his health has been what's most important to all of us, his health as a person. That's from me, through our medical staff, the whole organization. I think we would all agree that we were hoping to, as we worked through the off season, to avoid surgery. Certainly with any injury, in particular in this one, when you're dealing with the neck, that would have been best case scenario. Unfortunately, yesterday, Jack did not pass his physical. At this point, Jack is not willing to move forward with what our doctors are suggesting is the fusion surgery. So we're going to continue to work towards solutions. I will say Pat Brisson has been great to deal with since he's gotten involved in this process. We speak multiple times a day. He's one of the best in the business for a reason, and we're going to continue to work at this. But it's obviously a challenging situation, but that's where we are as of this morning.
Now, what are they trying to work on? What is there to work on with this? They've ruined Jack Eichel's value. Kevin Adams isn't going to get nearly what he wants for him. And now you've just lost your captain. You've lost one of the best players in the NHL for, frankly, nothing. At this point, I get what Kevin Adams wanted to do, is he wanted to hold out and get the best package for him. But now it's just an absolute black eye on the game of hockey. It is. It's embarrassing. How do we not have Jack Eichel playing after this neck injury was almost a year ago? You can't tell me. You can't tell me the NHL isn't a better place with Jack Eichel in it. So why has the NHL not stepped in? They've had meetings. They've discussed it. How can they not come to a resolution? I think what you gotta do, and maybe this is kidnapping, throw them all in a room, lock them all together, and say, hey, once we have a resolution with this, then you're out. After that, you're locked in this room. I don't know. Is it timeout? Is it grounded? Whatever. You got to figure something out, because Jack Eichel sitting in the stands does nothing for the game other than just keep embarrassing this Buffalo Sabres franchise. That's my thoughts. You can let me know if I'm wrong. Hey, coming up on the show today, I don't think I even got to it really, but we've got Jamie Lee Rattray coming up here. Team Canada star, 2021 world champion. Yeah, she had 4 tucks in the world championships. Not a big deal. Also had a goal in the gold medal game. 2 against the Americans in the round robin. Pretty good. Yeah, we'll talk with her. Hey, she's making her push for the Olympics as well, so we'll dive into some of that. And then after, at about 12:40, because this is such a hot topic, and I know you guys want to chime in on it, should the NHL make vaccines mandatory? We had a little bit of a situation in, on the island. You would have assumed that Lou would have been the first GM to mandate it. Like, it just makes sense that he would do that. So why one of his prospects thought he could get away without getting the vaccine? Mind-boggling. We also got some injuries. I'll rip through those here. Let's get through some NHL news. Penguins general manager Ron Hextall says Evgeny Malkin, who's recovering from off-season knee surgery, is not going to play for at least the first 2 months of this season. That sucks for them. That's a big loss. you got to think this is the end of the Pittsburgh Penguins dynasty. They're done. Nothing against Tristan Jarry, but he's not a Stanley Cup winning goaltender. Crosby's past his prime, still a great player, don't get me wrong, but this core is not winning any more cups. It's over. Same thing you could say in Washington as well, because Nicholas Backstrom, he's going to miss the start of training camp and considered week to week due to ongoing hip rehabilitation. Obviously not as serious as Malkin, but my two cents is Washington does not have the juice to win another cup. Not with the court. They had their run. They had their runs. I mean, they just won one cup, but again, for Montreal, a lot bigger issues there. They got a bunch on the IR here. Paul Byron's out with a hip injury. Mike Hoffman, lower body. Joel Teasdale, knee. Josh Brook, knee. Carey Price, knee. They've all failed physicals. Expected to miss the entirety of training camp. Jack Eichel, obviously done as well. One of the interesting notes, I'll get to the attendance here first. Also, the Olympic schedule's out. Haven't really broke it down too much. But I am looking forward to seeing Canada and USA play. That's on February 11th. Isn't that Valentine's Day? I think that's Valentine's Day. I'm the worst with days of the year. If you're watching for the first time, you're going to figure that one out in a hurry. This from Eric Engels, though, what a memo the NHL sent out to teams today regarding fan vaccine and mask requirements. It says every building except the Bell Center and Rogers Arena are going to begin at 100% capacity. I'd love to know how you feel about that if you're in Montreal or Vancouver, because the Bell Center is going to be 33% capacity and Rogers Arena in Vancouver is going to be 50% capacity. That seems low. That seems low for all the work we've put in these past 18 months, getting the shot, doing our part, and in Montreal they're going to have 33% capacity? Something seems a little off there. Not that I'm a doctor, not that I'm going to speak to it. I'll play doctor at about 12:40. But hey, we got to head off to a commercial break here. And when we come back, it's gold medalist for Team Canada. Jamie Lee Rantrey joins us. World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. You don't want to miss our next interview. But of course, visit Lord Co.'s in-store truck centers at select locations for the best service. We'll come back to you in a minute.
Sport Travel Tours is the official tour supplier for the Spengler Cup Ice Hockey Tournament in Switzerland. Nestled amongst the stunning Swiss Alps is the exclusive resort of Davos. This December, teams from all around the world will compete in the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, the Spengler Cup. Sport Travel Tours packages include incredible hotels, amazing tickets, and a New Year's Eve party in the mountains to remember. Check out sporttraveltours.com today.
Week two of football's in the books. Now it's time to get ready for week number three with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up because you don't want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a $1 bet on any week three game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If not, they got daily fantasy contests, and they'll give it all new customers a free shot at $1 million in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana 1-800-9-WITH-IT. World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Visit Lord Co.'s in-store truck centers at select locations or check them out online at LordCo.com. Cody Jansen, join now. World champion Jamie Lee Rantrey joins us now on the Quack Stats Hotline. Jamie, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well. Still letting it sink in here, but I'm doing really well.
That's awesome. Hey, it was an exciting tournament, and I hate that it's, you know, so long ago now, but obviously our show wasn't going on when the tournament was. But I want you to go back a little bit and talk about this tournament. What was it like getting back in the rink after having the previous two, I believe, postponed, canceled, whatever they want to call it? You finally get back on the ice. What was that like for you? And you get to don the Canadian sweater.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I think, like you said, we've had a tough couple years with women's hockey, especially with all the postponements. But honestly, like you said, the best part was honestly being at the rink with the girls and, you know, being part of a team again. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, I think we can all train and, you know, practice as much as we want, but there's nothing better than being a part of a team and having one common goal. And that was definitely the best part about, you know, being off that long is I think that's where all our energy really came from, was just, it was all pent up from all the postponements over the last couple of years. And, you know, we were just so excited to, first of all, be together, but also just compete at a very high level.
Now, you had four tucks in the tournament there. I do believe it was four that you finished with. But let's talk about this round robin success. I mean, come on. You guys just buzzed through everyone. Like, even the Americans, you beat them 5-1. I think you had two in that game. Like, it was just clicking. I mean, you say, oh, you had some extra energy. But, I mean, essentially, everyone should have had that energy. What was exactly going right for you that you were just like, hey, you know, we're not going to lose here?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think we just bought into our game plan and we're all on the same page. I think that, you know, as a lot of people know, being on a team, I think that's part of the big part of, you know, being a championship team is everyone's got to buy in and everyone's got to be on the same page. And that's exactly what we did. And honestly, that game against the Americans in the preliminary round was a big win for us, right? Like we always measure ourselves up against them and we always want to beat them, obviously, with the rivalry. But, you know, to be able to beat them like that and with all the confidence, we had all the confidence in the world heading into the playoff round after that. And I mean, it's always a lot of fun beating those guys, no matter whether it's in Worlds or even just next exhibition game. So I think that game really, you know, for us in the tournament really set a standard for us moving forward.
You already dropped a generic hockey answer on me. You always got to follow the game plan. Hey, I mean, it's a grind. It's a long tournament. Who is keeping it light? Who's the jokester in the dressing room?
I don't know. We have quite a few, but actually one of the young kids, Emma Maltes, she's just a low ball energy. And, you know, she just shows up to the rink with a smile on her face. I think she smiles even when she's tearing the puck up the ice. So, I mean, everyone was on pretty positive around, but she was definitely one that kept it light and, you know, always joking around in the dressing room and not afraid to be yourself. And that's exactly what we want, right? I think you always need those couple players to keep it light. And so that she's a great young kid and she's a great player too, which adds to it. So
any good pranks get pulled that you can tell at least?
There's a couple. I think I'll just say that Erin Ambrose is always the prankster. She always comes up with them. And you know, I think during Worlds you try to stay away from it because you don't want to throw anyone off their game. But definitely pre comp camp there were pranks, and I'm sure there'll be some pranks coming up this year for sure.
Okay, well, what happened though? You got to give us a story here. You can't tease it that much.
There's not that many. I mean, we have a you know, a fine bank like every other team, and you know, we try to if you knock the cup over, you get fined. So we always used to like place it in people's helmets or, you know, in people's dry stalls so they would knock it over. So nothing too crazy, right? But I'm sure they'll get crazier as the year goes on.
That's not bad. That's
really pretty, very mild.
Yeah, we'll take the vanilla answer for now. Maybe after Olympics, we'll get the real stories. Hey, no, okay, let's go back to the hockey part of this as well. And for you, obviously, you come into this as kind of an outsider on the roster, not exactly knowing where you're going to fit in. And I would say this is probably one of your breakout parties for Hockey Canada on the world stage, is you come up and, you know, everyone was talking about it. That's the big thing is, you know, Jamie Lee Rattray, she is providing a lot of value on this team coming into a role that, you know, she wasn't expected to be in. You're providing offensively. You're providing a spark to that roster. For you personally, did it feel a little different than previous tournaments, games, leagues you've played in, just having some extra confidence?
Yeah, honestly, I think it was, you know, a big kudos to the whole group. I think, you know, it was an easy group to be a part of. And honestly, all I wanted to do every day was just make an impact. And honestly, you know, whether I did that, you know, 2 minutes a game or 10, 15 minutes, you know, to me, I just wanted to make an impact and help the girls out. And it was pretty easy to do with that group. Honestly, everyone, I think the great thing was everyone kind of found their place, found their role within that tournament. And that's all I really had to do, is just try to make an impact every time I went on the ice. And It was a lot of fun to be a part of. And, you know, I think, too, the culture and the atmosphere we created pre-Worlds really made it easy. I think that makes a huge difference as a player. You can just come in and be confident and, you know, really be yourself. And I think that makes a big difference, you know, within a group. And, I mean, I'm pretty lucky to play for Canada and play on the national team. So any way I can make an impact, I'm in for sure.
But, I mean, when you mentioned the group as well, you can't forget about that first game against Finland, and I know it's not a fun one to talk about, but all of a sudden you kind of realize, you're like, oh, shit, we're in a game here. Like, it was a little bit of a slow start to the tournament, and you really, as a whole team, had to pick it up and figure it out quickly, or else it could have gotten ugly. Like, do you think facing some of that adversity early made a difference?
Yeah, big time. Honestly, I think, you know, we had the bad loss against Finland in the 2019 Worlds in the semis. And I think we honestly didn't want to let that happen again. I think we were prepared for it. And I think the biggest thing was there was no panic, right? I think, you know, we were playing the right way. We just had to kind of continue on with it. And we knew that if we just stuck with it, we were going to come through. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, like you said, I think honestly going through some adversity earlier in the tournament is always key, because you don't want to get caught facing those situations, you know, in the final only and be stuck like that. So, you know, kudos to everybody for just kind of sticking with it. And, you know, we definitely didn't want to have another loss to Finland again in the world. That's for sure.
And I want to get into the final game here, but I got to be blunt, and I want a blunt answer from you too. Is you're playing without fans in this tournament, while CFL teams are playing with no capacity restrictions, baseball, hockey, they had no restrictions. Hockey Canada, IIHF, they put the restrictions in. I get it, it's a safety thing. But how disappointing was that for you, that you couldn't play in a gold medal game for the first time in 2 years after following all these protocols, all these measures, and they weren't allowed to put even a limited capacity of fans? I know family, some friends or whatever got in. But was that disappointing? Does that kind of still rub you the wrong way as a player who's been battling all this time, and you can't play in front of a packed barn? That's every kid's dream.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody wants to play in front of fans. I mean, honestly, that building would have been, you know, but would have been rocking all tournament, I think, not even just the final. I think it would have been awesome. But I think, you know, Hockey Canada and the IHF did a really good job of keeping us safe and making sure that the event goes forward. And, you know, obviously as a player, you know, you want to have that extra energy. You want to have that, you know, extra boost from, especially being in Canada. I think it would have been pretty awesome. But we were pretty fortunate to have our friends and family there at least, and, you know, have some sort of support. But, you know, I think either way, we're just happy that we were able to get through the event and obviously win it in the end. But, you know, like you said, it would have been rocking for sure, but I'm really happy that it was a good, clean event. And big thing was zero cases throughout the event. So that's exactly what we wanted.
That's fair. Definitely fair there. Hey, let's talk about the finals, though. And I mean, you know, it was a great game. It was a close game. What else would you expect from, you know, Canada, USA? But Marie-Philippe Poulin, really, you know, I mean, she's Canada's golden girl. When it comes to clutch moments, she pulls through. What can you tell me about, you know, her as a teammate, her as a player? What makes her special? Because she's really, you know, she's cementing herself as one of the best female hockey players of all time.
Yeah, first and foremost, she's just one of the best people I've ever met. I mean, she's humble. She's, you know, she's considerate to her teammates. She's just one of the best. And, you know, what else can you say other than the word clutch when you think of her? I mean, you look at her, you know, Olympic final kind of goals per game average. It's pretty good, I think. And, I think one thing about her too is she's one of the hardest workers on our team. And that's a pretty easy teammate to follow, right? You have someone that shows up to work every day, no matter what, and works her butt off. I think that's someone very easy to follow. And she's also a great teammate, and I'm pretty fortunate to have known her for a long time now. And you know, what else can you say? You know, all she does is score big goals and lead our team into great, you know, great wins. So I was really happy for her that, you know, that was the first world championship she got as a captain, and she's earned it, right? She's worked really hard over the years and done nothing but a good job leading this team. So yeah.
Jamie, be real with me. What's the party like afterwards? Are they booking out a little conference room at the Windsport? Are they just saying, hey, stick in the dressing room for tonight, we don't need you ripping around Cowboys in Calgary, or what? What was it like?
Well, the dressing room party was definitely a lot of fun. I think, you know, I think a lot of us would want to relive that over and over again. I think, you know, that's the best part about winning a championship is celebrating it with your teammates and the girls that you fought hard with. And the dressing room was definitely pretty fun. And I think some people saw it on social media how great it was. And then we just had a team party back at the hotel afterwards. And it was a lot of fun, you know, just to be together as a group and really celebrate. And, you know, I obviously didn't get a lot of sleep that night and really enjoyed it. But I mean, I think a lot of us just wanted to enjoy it as much as we could because it'd been a long time coming. And the great thing was I really enjoyed just hanging out with the girls and celebrating that part of it. So it was definitely a lot of fun. I definitely a lot of adrenaline going, didn't sleep much, but I think that's like any championship. You just got to enjoy it as much as you can.
Well, it had been 8 or 9 years, so I think you kind of had the green light there. How long does the party last for? Like, I get it. Worlds is something different because you've got players after the fact. They're going all over the place. It's not like a centralized team per se, but how long does the party last for? Are you taking the week off saying, hey, I'm not hitting the gym, I'm not touching my skates, I'm enjoying having this gold medal around my neck? Like, what's it like after for the week?
Yeah, so we were able to have about a week and a bit off as a team, and some girls, you know, went home or had some time off here in Calgary, and we actually got back together about a week and a half later, I believe, and started our centralization, kind of year. So the celebration lasted about 2 weeks, and we were able to get back together as a team and have a nice dinner and really celebrate again as a group. And I think it's important to celebrate. I think, you know, having Worlds at the beginning of a centralization year is kind of unique, but I also think it's a cool opportunity for us to really build on, you know, a win like that and, you know, look back and see what we did well and how can we get better from that and just grow from there. So, and then you also have that foundation of us already kind of being a close-knit group. So, you know, we really definitely enjoyed each other's, you know, company over the week off and had some fun, but now it's time to get back to work as a group.
Who partied the hardest?
I don't know. I think we all pretty much did. I mean, I definitely had a lot of fun, I'm not going to lie.
Well, we'll accept that as an answer for this one. Maybe after the Olympics, sure. We're not going to accept that one. Hey, you mentioned, though, you're in the centralization process right now. And I mean, I just want to break into that before we let you go here. But what's that like for you as a daily process? What's the lead up going into the Olympics here? And in a broader question as well, you know, how much motivation is there to go to the Olympics and prove that, hey, the World Championships wasn't a fraud, we're the best team in the country?
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think, like you said earlier, we've been off for almost 2 years, and you know, with obviously the whole world with COVID, I think a lot of us haven't been a part of a team, you know, in a long time for a full season. So a lot of us are really excited about that and being able to go to work every day with the same group. And we're just going to try to build every single day that we go to the rink. And you know, for me personally, I think, you know, just trying to prove to myself that, you know, I can play at this level and become an Olympian. And that's really all I can do is go to work every day and work my, you know, try my best and be a good teammate. And honestly, I think I'm really excited for this group to see what they can do over the full season and what, you know, we have another big tournament coming up in February, and that's our goal right now. And we're going to do everything we can leading up to get ready.
So what's it like for you then personally? What are you looking back on at the World Championships and being like, hey, I need to improve this in my game? What's one thing that you're specifically picking out of your game?
I think for me, just, you know, really, I think refining my defensive game. I think that's always been a focus of mine. I think offensively, I've been, you know, pretty offensive player in my career. So just trying to hone in on my defensive game, but also I think really honing in on what our game plan is as a, you know, coming from the coaching staff. We've got a great, you know, coaching staff behind us. So just making sure that I'm fully focused on what the group needs. And, you know, coming off Worlds like that, I think it's pretty easy to just kind of continue on and build. And for me, I'm just going to try to show up every day and, you know, take in everything that I can. And also for my teammates, you know, we're part of a pretty phenomenal group, and you know, I can learn a lot from the girls around me as well. So that's all I'm going to try to do this season.
Jamie, you're the best. So much. I appreciate you taking the time. Again, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Best of luck with the centralization, the Olympics, and I can't wait to talk to you after when you got another gold.
always great chatting, always. Thank you.
Sport Travel Tours is the official tour supplier for the Spangler Cup Ice Hockey Tournament in Switzerland. Nestled amongst the stunning Swiss Alps is the exclusive resort of Davos. This December, teams from all around the world will compete in the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, the Spangler Cup. Sport Travel Tours packages include incredible hotels, amazing tickets, and a New Year's Eve party in the mountains to remember. Check out sporttraveltours.com today.
Week 2 of football's in the books. Now it's time to get ready for week number 3 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up because you don't want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a $1 bet on any week 3 game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If not, they got daily fantasy contests, and they'll give it all new customers a free shot at $1 million in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Huge thanks to Jamie Lee Rattray for jumping on the show. Talking about Canada's biggest win of the summer. No offense, we had a couple of big tennis wins. Shout out to Carter Hart, who got into tennis as well. But come on, Hockey Canada, for the women to beat USA in overtime on home soil, that was the biggest, and Jamie Lee Rattray is an absolute star. It's World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Kawana Parts. Find a store near you at lordco.com. And you guys already know, my favorite hockey tournament of the year. Well, if you missed the commercial break, you should find out. It's the Spangler Cup, and the great people at Sports Travel Tours want you to experience it as well. Check out all the available packages at sportstraveltours.com. I know this is going to get heated, so sit down, take a deep breath. We'll have a conversation. Please join the conversation. Please, please, get your comments out there. Jimmy Waite says, who's my team? Oh, Jimmy, I get asked this all the time, and I can't say I have an exact team that I root for. I don't have a jersey. I'm not that type of fan. I'm up by Edmonton. The Oilers are awesome to watch till playoff time. I grew up watching the Flames. You know, huge fan of Iggy. Was a big fan of the 04 run. Loved Cam Ward. I'm a goalie guy. I cheer for goalies. That's who's my team, Jimmy. Appreciate you hopping in here, though. Anytime at World Honky RPT on Twitter. We're on 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Wherever you're watching from, you can chime in anytime because we got a deep conversation to get to. And this is World Honky Report. This is unfiltered. This is uncensored. This is get your comments in. We're not going to take calls on this because I know exactly how it's going to go today. And let's get to the New York Islanders news. And this is Lou telling one of their prospects, stay home, we don't want you here. That's Bode Wild. He's unvaccinated. Lou said, hey, don't bother coming to camp if you aren't. And for Bode Wild, I mean, the worst possible way you can go and respond to this is to go on Instagram and start making comments, taking shots at the team who's paying your salary. He goes on there and says, appreciate it, hoping my human rights are enough to let me play, .. What a world. First, don't steal the three dots. That's my thing. But also, hoping your human rights? Your human rights aren't to play in the NHL. It's not a human right to play in the National Hockey League to make unbelievable money playing a kid's game. That's not a human right. And if you think that's a human right, you're an idiot. That's the only way to put it. The National Hockey League isn't a human right. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that not many get the honor to do. And so if they're mandating vaccines, if they're, and the league-wide hasn't done it, and that's why I bring the question up, and I'd love some insight, love whatever you're thinking on this. The league hasn't made it mandatory, but certain teams have. Certain GMs, think of Yarmo in Columbus, think of Lou and the Island. Even Josh Archibald today, he's not skating with the team. What happened there? I think we'll get answers. Maybe not in the most timely fashion, but I would have to assume the Oilers said, get your shot or get to Bakersfield. Makes sense. You don't want a guy missing 30 games. Jimmy says, sounds like discrimination. And Jimmy, I'd love for you to expand on that. Please do. In a world where the vaccines aren't mandatory, no one's forcing Bo Wild, no one's forcing Josh Archibald, Zach Rinaldo to get vaccinated. I would love to know how it's discrimination against them where it's their private employer saying, hey, I'm going to make a decision for my team. I don't think that's discrimination, but again, please explain yourself there as I get to some of the comments here on the, here was the tweet, and it came from World Hockey Report. I think it was Adam that tweeted out, said, pretty selfish of Josh Archibald to not get vaccinated, given his teammate literally can't play this year due to getting COVID and having a heart issue from it. I said the exact same thing on the show. I said that it's embarrassing, and I didn't, you know, I wasn't taking a run at Josh Archibald. I was more saying at the Oilers, the fact that they're letting this happen after the fact that they've had a player potentially have his career ended. You know, this could be the end of it for Alex Stalock. Post-COVID, he ends up getting heart issues. This is the end of his career because of it? Man, you feel bad for him. You really do. Eric chimes in. Only team that hasn't basically taken a stance publicly is Detroit. Mandated stance. I don't think the Oilers have publicly taken one. But yeah, the Tyler Bertuzzi situation, that's an interesting one as well. He's only going to be missing 10 games. And I mean, it's an LOL moment when you want to talk about, you know, Detroit making the playoffs. I don't want to take too many shots if there's Wings fans listening for the first time thinking I hate them. Big Detroit fan as well. But like, you know, if they end up playing a Canadian team in playoffs and he can't play in the road games, what do you do? If you're Stevie, why are you employing this guy? Get him off your roster and get someone else in there. Jimmy says it's not equal treatment. Why do they need to be treated equal? They're not equal. One has the vaccine shot, one doesn't. That's not equal. One went out of their way to take the shot that's been designed by doctors, scientists. They're a lot damn smarter than me, I'll tell you that for free. But again, you know, it's their choice. They don't have to get vaccinated. No one's saying you have to get vaccinated. It's not mandatory. I don't think, I mean, you know, Canada, U.S., you don't have to. Live your life. Do what you want. Hockey's a privilege. Playing in the NHL is a privilege as well. Okay, back to those comments now, though. I appreciate it. Keep firing them in. I love seeing the conversation because this world would be boring if we didn't have different opinions. And that's the best part about this show. Hey, Travis says, vaccine shaming. Nice. Do Bertuzzi next. I mean, you can call it vaccine shaming. You can call it what you want. I think that from an Edmonton Oilers perspective, the captains, the coach, they probably had a conversation and said, hey, we want Archibald on the team. But again, if he can't play 30 games with us this year, what's the point? Get vaccinated, get lost. I would assume that. Armchair Canadian Jason says, sad someone had to be Captain Obvious here with the trademark sign. I'm not Captain Obvious. I got good intellectual thoughts, not obvious ones at all. Tom Henderson says, good luck with the fight mandate, Josh. I don't know. Welcome to Oil Country says, very selfish. T. Rankin says, a vaccine that only works if everyone takes it. Does that sound right? Again, I'm not a doctor, but I trust the scientists that have, put millions of dollars, hours, and time into it a lot more than something I'll read on, you know, Facebook or see on YouTube. Dominic Richard says, should look up how vaccines work. I mean, I can look it up all the time. I can do that on my own. I don't need someone on Twitter telling me how to do that. I don't think Josh Archibald or anyone else does either. They're going to make their own decisions. They're adults. You don't have to agree with it. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to agree with it. Ian says, Cunham, top-notch pick says, plenty of examples of young males having heart issues from the vaccine too. So don't forget there are risks associated with either. Pretty selfish of you to assume everyone has the same risk analysis as you. I'm not saying there's not a risk in getting the vaccine, but there's a lot less of a risk in getting the vaccine than actually getting COVID. That's science. If there was a bigger risk in the vaccine than actually getting COVID, the FDA isn't going to approve it. It's not rocket science. It really isn't at that point. Rob says, pretty weak that Edmonton management are letting him come to camp. I think that was the stance that a lot of people were saying, was that, hey, maybe you probably just shouldn't invite him to camp. Or you make him sit out like Duncan Keith. Tell he's got his second dose. Tell he's approved, whatever. Surya says, stop shaming people for their personal medical decisions. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's shaming in a sense. We call them selfish, but I don't think I'm the only one saying that. I think his teammates are exactly saying that, thinking that too. You know, because if his team has an outbreak, they're going to lose their paychecks because of them. If they want to make a playoff push, you can't have one guy playing home games or Canadian games. It's not how it works in the NHL. So, you know, if we're selfish for telling him, hey, maybe it's best to get the vaccine or get out of there, how incredibly selfish would it be to miss 50% of your season? At least? Because of mandatory quarantines? I don't know. It's interesting there. Pat says it's okay to shame people for stupid decisions. That's funny. I gotta love that one there. It's people like you that I hope win the Darwin Award. I don't know what the Darwin Award is. First person, let me know that in the conversation, wins a prize. I don't know what that prize is, but let me know. What is the Darwin Award? How do you dislike a tweet says off the bar hockey? Well, commenting on it only boosts his engagement, so I don't know. I mean, hey, if you're following us, don't complain about us getting engagement. We're giving our 2 cents. That's what we do. Rye Atkins says, I expected better from you, World Hockey Report, pushing about this divisive narrative that is already dividing our country more and more every day. We're not adding fuel to the fire here. We're giving our thoughts. I mean, if you think this is a divisive narrative, if this was a 50-50 split across the NHL, all over throughout the players, half the players were vaccinated, half of them weren't, it's a totally different conversation. It's 100% a different conversation. But we're talking about a dozen players who have chosen not to get the vaccine. And we're not even talking about the players who can't get it for health reasons or who have had health reasons like Willie Nylander. No, we're talking about a guy who's sharing plandemic YouTube videos, wild links on his social media, and then not getting the vaccine and expecting just to come to camp all willy-nilly. That's a lot different. That's a lot different than if this is a more 50-50 split like people are making it seem out to be. No, this is one player out of, what, 50 guys at Oilers camp? I don't have the exact number in front of me. This isn't a 50-50 split. This isn't half the people think, unlike you. Victor says, are you aware that his vaccinated teammates can pass it on? Archibald didn't give his teammates COVID by not getting vaccinated. Should he get it? Yes, but he should, but stop blaming. Okay, I think it just means to stop blaming Archibald for his decision and acting like he caused Stalock's condition. No one's saying he caused Stalock's condition. We're saying we don't want to see another one like that. I don't want to see another NHL player risk losing their career too early because of an issue post-COVID. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anyone is actually going to get that, but why run the risk? Oh, Jamie chimes in, says the Darwin Award salutes the improvement of human. I can't even read that right now. Genome? I don't know. By honoring those I don't know if there's a spelling mistake in that or if I need glasses or something. 98% to 2% isn't exactly divisive. Yes, Eric, that is what I am saying there. Yeah, it boggles my brain. But again, I love seeing the comments. I love seeing people chime in because conversation is what the world ticks here. Psalm says it's human genome. That's what it is. Maybe I can't read. Maybe I'm going blind. It is what it is. You know what? We got so many comments. I don't know if we're going to get through all of these. Joe Hoffnagel says fake news here. Modelo Properator. I mean, half these are just burner accounts. They're people who aren't even willing to put their name out there. So take it as, you know, maybe a grain of sand. You know, the vaccine causes heart issues, right? I don't know. I don't think I got a heart issue. I went for a medical. I'm fine. I got the vaccine. I'm sure it does. As does smoking cigarettes. As does drinking pop. You know, there's risks involved with everything. Driving a vehicle. But I think I'll take a risk on something that millions and billions and billions of dollars have been spent on. And the best scientists in the world have been working on. Versus what one burner account on Twitter is going to tell me. Or some scam link that's probably going to shut down my computer. I don't know. I'm not going to make it political. But again, you really got to think about this from the NHL's perspective. They're a private business and they can say whatever they want. Neil says, and why should he vaccinate if he's tested on a regular basis and tests negative? That's the option they're giving him. He's fine to do that. If the NHL, if his team says, we are fine with that, that's what he's going to do. Nothing wrong with that. If his team says, hey, get vaccinated or you're not playing, then he's got to get vaccinated. It's that simple, Neil. No one's saying, oh, you know, just because he's getting tested. They're all getting tested still. They're not just going to stop testing because they're vaccinated. That's not how it works. And that's exactly what you're saying, is that COVID can still happen to vaccinated people. That's why they're getting tested. So I don't know. I mean, it's a little counterproductive to go with that argument. Barker Harden said, you should be more upset that big pharma companies didn't create a vaccine that actually does what it's supposed to do, which is protect you. Imagine McDavid getting vaccinated, doctors saying, oh, by the way, this won't work unless your teammate Nate Archibald. I mean, it's not Nate, but that's all right. Gets one, LMAO. They didn't do what they're supposed to do? You can still get it. It's not like you're like fully immunized. You're not invincible from COVID. No, if you get the vaccine, and you know, you're supposed to be able to handle it better if you do get it. You're supposed to be able to fight it off better. You're supposed to be healthier if you do contract the virus. It's not a bulletproof vest. Some people just don't get that, though. Timmy says, if everyone else is vaccinated, why does it matter if he is unless the vaccine doesn't work? Well, because if he gets sick from COVID, I'm sure there's some liability issues. Not a lawyer talking on a hockey show, but I'm sure there's something else. I can't get to all of these. There's too many burner accounts throwing it out. But I did have to get to the official statement from the San Jose Sharks on Evander Kane since we talked about it yesterday. I'm going to read this one off here. And again, if you got a comment, join the conversation. The San Jose Sharks are aware of additional allegations that are unrelated to the National Hockey League's initial investigation of Evander Kane. We take the allegations very seriously and have been in communication with the NHL. The league will continue to have our full cooperation regarding ongoing investigations. The Sharks and Evander Kane have agreed that he will not participate in Sharks 2021 training camp until further notice. The Sharks have no further comments on this matter at this time. And it was also breaking out that they've passed on his gambling allegations. They've decided, hey, those aren't true. We don't have any proper evidence that those are true. But we still got to look into the other stuff. That's fine. I'm not saying you got to kick the guy into the league right now. But suspending him is the right thing to do. It's that simple. You can't have this guy around if these allegations are true. Look at what Vancouver did with Jake Virtanen. To have an Evander Kane around, if these become true and you let him play after knowing these allegations, you have 100% failed as a league, as a governing body. You failed your fans, you failed your players, you failed everyone who's ever held a hockey stick, watched the game. You have to suspend him. You have to do the research. You have to do the investigation. And that doesn't mean allowing him to play. Playing in the NHL is not a right. It's a privilege. I'll stick by that. Doesn't matter. COVID, anything. You have to take this stuff seriously. And good on the San Jose Sharks. They did it right. They did it right. You know, he's under, you know, investigation for additional allegations, which came out. We won't break into those. But if they are, you know, if those are right, you never want to see this guy in the game again. You never want to see him hockey again. And you want to see him in jail. It's that simple. That's going to do it, though. Next week, we got more great guests lined up. If you're a fan of the Danbury Trashers, yeah, you're probably going to want to tune in, though. Thanks for hanging out this week. Thanks for joining the conversation. Everyone who helps put the show on, our lead producer, Bryce Bunz, social media manager, Eric Krause, Adam Urbanchuk contributes as well. I'm Cody Jansen. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31 _. The show's at World Honky RPT. Download the podcast, the Honky Podcast Network. We're presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Go check them out, lordco.com. Until next week, everyone, be kind.